Flow Designer is one of our most popular features for automating work on the Now platform. And our Washington, D.C. release brings some very nice updates. On this episode, we have one of the key people in charge of its success. Before we begin, I want to mention that we did have some audio issues with this episode. Most of what you'll hear is absolutely fine, but there are some artifacts here and there. We hope this doesn't take away from your enjoyment of this episode of Breakpoint.
Welcome to Breakpoint, the ServiceNow Developer Podcast.
Hello, ServiceNow admins, builders, developers, and of course, all of the curious individuals that I always say with the utmost love and respect. We do love you, and we do respect you. Welcome to or welcome back to Breakpoint, the ServiceNow Developer Podcast, where we bring you the latest tools, tips, and tradecraft to accelerate your career. My name is Chuck Tomasi. I am a senior developer advocate at ServiceNow, and I am joined by the one and only, the smart, the beautiful, I'm running out of adjectives because there's just too many, senior developer advocate, the posh programmer, Lauren McManaman. How are you today, Lauren?
You know what? I'm doing fantastic. Unfortunately, my little dog, not so much. He's chilling on my lap at the moment because of a renegade fire alarm. So I apologize in the advance if we have any surprise guest noises in the background.
Or barking. It wouldn't be a podcast without some background noise, right?
True.
Well, we also, as I mentioned, have a special guest with us today. We have the Principal Product Manager for Workflow Automation, Ms. Jingfei Chen. How are you today?
I'm good. Hello. My name is Jingfei. I'm the Product Manager for Flow Designer. Hi.
Yay! One of our favorite products. Well, before we begin, can we get to know a little bit about you? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so before I joined ServiceNow, I was actually a customer. I worked for TD Bank as a ServiceNow developer about 5, 6, 7 years ago. And then I became a ServiceNow architect. And then, yeah, I made the move to join the team and really want to make the product really speaking to the customer. So, yes, I'm really passionate about the tool and the product.
Have you always been on the Flow Designer team?
After joining ServiceNow, yeah. Flow Designer is okay. My favorite builder, yes.
This is your home.
Yes.
Another fun little question that we like to ask our guests too is describe a time in your career, because everyone has so many cool, awesome career highs. We all like to talk about embarrassing career little oopsies. So did you ever have a moment in a job that you thought like, oh my gosh, this is the end. This is what I'm going to get fired for.
Yeah. There's actually one time, it's nothing about the work I do, but it's during the workplace. So I was about to go to lunch, and then I was heating up a burger, and then I didn't realize that the burger has aluminum foil wrapped within paper. And so I saw flame in the microwave, and I was like, oh, there shouldn't be flame. And so I would just freeze there for a second. And my colleague quickly took the burger out and put it in the sink. So it wasn't, the building wasn't down. And by the way, my office was like a 50-floor tower building. So,
oh my gosh.
That wouldn't be good.
That's great.
That's like the burnt popcorn in the microwave. It'll yes. just smell all afternoon.
Yes. So nothing happened.
Look, everyone, I made plasma. I don't know if you'd get fired for that one, but certainly you'd get labeled for it.
Yeah, I will get into trouble. Yes.
And then to kind of bring up the mood a little bit past burnt burgers, when you're not on the job, what do you enjoy doing?
I'm a dancer myself. So I do a lot of different types of dances. And I do jazz, I do ballet, I do Chinese dance. Have you seen those dances with a lot of fan and long sleeve, and then they're turning like a
yes, nail? The Yun billboard is like right outside my house.
Yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah, I do those.
How long have you danced for?
Oh, more longer history than ServiceNow. I started dancing when I was 3 back in China.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so cool. Way to keep at it. Like, I love hearing people with hobbies that they've had like their whole life. Like, that's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like the hobby. You keep me in shape so I can eat burgers.
We're going to just keep calling back to that burger the whole show. I can see this. You know, our flow designer discussion is going to revolve around burgers or something. That's one of my favorite questions on this podcast, because you discover something about people that you didn't know. It's not all technology. It's not all ServiceNow. There's other things in life to discover and keep you occupied.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
All right, into the main topic. Can you give us an overview of Flow Designer? We've had it for a while, but there may be people that are brand new to this podcast.
Yeah, so if you don't know Flow Designer is a low-code, no-code alternative to the traditional code way of doing automation. So let's say if you want to automate a business process, today you might be using business rule, client script, script include, all these tools that are available in the product. But I would really encourage you to start exploring Flow Designer. So Flow Designer is nothing more than just a trigger plus bunch of components. So it can be trigger plus an action, or trigger plus a flow logic, and then also a subflow. So you can control when the automation you want to run and what do you want the automation to achieve. So it's very friendly to both developers as well as citizen developer, people with or without technical knowledge.
Absolutely.
It just had its sixth birthday, which is really cool. So it's a bit, like Chuck said, it's been out for a considerable amount of time, but I'm always amazed that it's still like producing such different changes with every single release. Like, there's always new features to look forward to. I know you already showcased these in a creator toolbox this week.
Yes,
it was this week. So
recently.
Be sure to check out our YouTube channel to see these features. But as far as Washington goes, can you give us a rundown of some of the new things that have just come out for Flow Designer?
Yeah, sure. So yeah, you're right. We invest heavily into Flow Designer every single release, and more so in Washington. So Washington, I would bucket all the new features into four categories. There is the Workflow Studio. That's one place, one single place you ever need to go for everything workflow-wise. If you want to automate something, that's a place to go. So a homepage, a brand new way for you to find and then quickly access which flow, which automation you want to open up. So that's one big theme. Another one is AI, generative AI. They shouldn't be, they're just going to be AI in every single topic. So we are investing very heavily in generative AI with Flow Designer. So we're releasing a feature called Flow Generation that basically turns plain English description into a flow. So you can just describe in English what you want to achieve, and that will turn and build a flow for you. So it's very magical. The third thing I want to bring up is the parity around flow diagramming. So we started the journey on flow diagramming a few releases back, but really in Washington, we're finishing the journey. We want to finish off of what we started before. So making sure everything is supported in diagramming, all the flow logics, all the triggers, all the tools and all the functionality. That's our main focus, one of the main focus in Washington. And finally, a crowd favorite is safer editing. So this includes undo, redo, autosave, protected editing, some subtle warning, just usability enhancement to make Flow Designer more user-friendly. I covered a lot. I know we can go into detail for all of these.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a great segue. You talked a little bit about Workflow Studio and how it's the central place for all of these flows, subflows, decision tables, process automation. Why did we make this change? Because we just came out with a beautiful new homepage in Vancouver.
Yeah, so in Vancouver, the new homepage revamp was a step towards Workflow Studio. And so the gist is, I don't want my customer to keep remembering, oh, this is the flow, that is the process, the decision, you need to go to somewhere else. I didn't want you guys to remember different places and different terms. I want you to just know this one place, and that's the only place you need to go. So that's why we consolidate all the different builders around automation into one place. So you no longer need to hunt around and bounce back and forth between different builders. This is the only place to go. With that being said, we're not taking the access away. If you still type flow designer in the navigation bar, you're still going to be landing in the same place in Workflow Studio. So it's not like, you know, we're changing your habit. You can adapt to this new terminology, but either way, you're going to be using it.
That's good, because I still type flow designer in the navigation bar.
Yes. Yes.
And you can see it brings up the URL and then does a redirect. Like, oh, yeah. Good. Yeah, so even your favorites, if you have favorites in your favorites menu, it says flow designer, it will work by there, because it's just going to do a redirect. You don't have to like undo the old one and redo the new one. So thank you for keeping that simple.
Yeah, just gonna change the muscle memory a little bit.
Not for us old timers. Good luck with that.
That's a really insightful thing that you said, though, about like, we don't want the burden of responsibility of remembering all of the locations and various names of this product as it has grown and changed, right? Like, we want them to remember one thing and make it easy. And even if they remember the old thing, it still takes them all to the same place. So I really, really like that. One thing that we do want to make sure that users know are just like standard operating procedures. And I always find it funny because, like I said, Flow Designer has been out for a while, but there's still like some consistent, frequently asked questions that we get about this product. So as one of the like leaders of Flow Designer, do you have kind of some standard questions and the answers to those?
Yeah, questions. It's like, why do I need to use Flow Designer? I can achieve the same thing using a business rule. Why do I need to care? I would say, if you want to make your instance high maintainable and highly upgradable, you want to use Flow Designer. So you just need to really go back to your job of automate things. Think about the business process you want to automate. Really think about the business problem you're trying to solve, the efficiency you're about to bring, and don't worry about, you know, upgrade compatibility, all these issues that you're going to face, because we take care of that. As soon as the automation is on a flow, we take care of the rest. So for that, we also invest a lot into revamping the flow engine. That's the thing that powers all the flow behind the scene. So we put in so much work to make it scalable, to make it accessible, to make it really, really maintainable. So all this effort that you don't see is because we invest so much into the tool. So that's one of the big benefits for using Flow Designer.
And you also said, like, the Flow Designer itself too is designed to be consumed by a multitude of roles, right? It's not just the pro coder that's writing actions. It's the citizen developer that are creating the process. It's process automation designer, business owners that can arrange and kind of scaffold things out. And it's even like business leaders, because it writes everything out in a natural language. So you're not having to interpret, you know, pages of code. You can just look at a flow diagram that's already created anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So we're trying to enable more people in creating automation, not just people who knows how to code. So do you need to know how to code in order to use Flow Designer? Absolutely not. With the tools, it's the way I describe to people is nothing more than a if this and that. So if something happens, describe what you want to do. Simple as that. It can be complex, but it can be very simple. So with the generative AI, we're trying to enable more people. So you might be, let's say, creating a flow by describing it. After you describe it, you turn the diagramming view on. Here is the diagram of what you just described. And you put that to your management, be like, is this what you want me to automate? So we're trying to really make the process end-to-end very smooth for you.
Now, I hate to also bring this up because it's kind of like my personal boogeyman, right? But there was a predecessor for Flow Designer. There was something. So for the newer developers out there, Flow Designer had a preceding product called the Workflow Editor. Mm-hmm. And so one consistent question we got was, with the onset of Workflow Studio, is that also going to include anything for the legacy Workflow Editor?
No, legacy Workflow Editor is not going to be in scope for Workflow Studio. Legacy Workflow Editor, we actually have not invested into the tool for 4 or 5 years. It's just in maintain mode. There was issues with legacy Workflow Editor, so that's why the company decided not to invest in the tool. We currently don't have a sunset plan announced, but it's definitely in our mind to roll out a procedure or a strategy around that. So I would encourage everybody to, if you want to create net new automation, please, please start using Flow Designer.
You hear that, everybody? It's time. It's time to close the shop doors on Workflow Editor. It's been, like I said, it's been my personal boogeyman for years. And I'm like, come on. Flow Designer is so much farther ahead of where Workflow Editor ever was. There's no excuses anymore. Let's go.
Well, Jingfei, we love asking our product managers to give us a hint of what's coming up. So what's on the roadmap for Flow Designer and Workflow Studio, et cetera, et cetera?
Safe harbor, safe harbor.
Yeah. Quite a lot of different things. So first of all, AI, we continuously to put more effort, more work into AI. Right now, what we released in Washington is taking a plain English paragraph and generate the outline. And so just the structure, the skeleton of the flow. But we want to actually make sure that paragraph turn into a full flow. Ideally, a functioning, testable flow for you. And so that's what we're working on to quickly or to continuously enhance the AI capability. Also, another thing that we're working on is something called Trigger Builder. So I have seen a lot of you creating flow that does nothing else but calling a subflow.
Guilty. I've done that.
I have done that too.
Same.
Well, it's nice because by starting with a subflow, you're gathering all your logic into one place, and you can, with the Flow API, call it from, say, UI action. So I want to trigger that set of nicely, easily buildable, maintainable stuff from a button click on a form or from a trigger. And it may be the same logic over and over. So hence the need for subflows. And why duplicate the whole thing?
Yeah.
And I don't need to trigger it with a record update or a schedule time. I need to trigger it manually with an event like a button click.
Yes, understood. Very understandable, and I feel guilty about that too. I have done it too, and sometimes I would even recommend this to as a best practice to customers. And so we are working on a new feature called Trigger Builder. So that's essentially decoupling trigger from regular flow. So you can reuse trigger, you can configure trigger, and then you can combine a few triggers together, and then you can reuse the same trigger in multiple different flows. So yeah, so we're trying to formalize the way that you guys already use trigger versus flow and make that as a separate item for you. Yeah.
I'm curious to see the use cases on that, because when I think of reusing the same trigger, it's like, why wouldn't, if I said, run this flow when an incident is updated and it's a priority one, for example, if I use that multiple times, wouldn't I be triggering like 4 flows at the same time?
Yeah, 4 flows at the same time. However, different flows could have different priorities of running. So you could have something on high priority. You might want to take that into one flow and don't combine it into, you know, a giant flow, right? Or sometimes you could be, it could be like the flow has already configured and then you just need to know, okay, when incident is, I don't know, updated with short description of such, what should be running or what is currently running? You can query all the flow on the same trigger and then find what's already there so that you don't need to create, you know, duplicate work.
I'm looking forward to seeing that. That's coming up, right?
Yes, coming up.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
We want it now.
We always want everything now.
Right. Now. Tomorrow.
We want it yesterday.
Sarah,
but we know.
It's a thankless job being on these podcasts because you just put out an entire lease and we're like, but we want the new stuff too.
And most of our listeners haven't even touched the new stuff.
Yeah.
We're the worst kids.
Working on it.
Yeah, give me more resources. I'll get it done.
The final thing I want to also bring up is performance. Performance, performance, performance. We heard you. We heard things are slow. Saving flow is slow. Publishing flow is slow. We have heard this feedback from many, many customers, and we heard you. So every single release up to Washington, we have been putting effort onto streamlining performance or like reducing technical debt behind the scene for the past few releases. But we're not stopping here. We're continue with doing more work to make sure the tool can support the scale, the scalability, and the volume the customer is looking for. So one thing we're trying to implement is called JSON save. It's like a different way behind the scenes that a flow is saved. So I won't go into too much detail because my engineering manager described it to me in a way that I was like, I think I get it. Yeah, it's like currently flows are saved into multiple different relational database objects. But we want to bring that just as one JSON object to save so that your saving is faster. It's a smaller set of things to save. So you should see no transparent change, no UI change on your side, but it's just faster. Yes.
Interesting. It used to be multiple records in multiple tables. I mean, when we first came out with Flow Designer, your update set was littered. You know, all I did is made a trigger and made it do a log statement, and you've got many, many entries in your update set.
You got a lot of things in the update set, yeah.
Yeah, and then we collapsed that. So I was like, okay, it's just one update. So this is interesting. Is that part of the new engine, the version 2 engine that's enabling the faster saves?
No, engine revamp. That's a different work for performance. Auto save, it's also, we put in some performance improvement together into autosave as well.
Okay.
And this JSON save is another effort. So yeah, so we just keep improving on performance.
And we just talked to the SDK guys on the last episode. Is Flow Designer going to be tying in with the SDK at all?
I think that is on the roadmap, but it's not in the Xanadu release.
Just curious, because that's some cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Making records and modifying stuff right in an IDE.
Yeah. So the idea for anyone who doesn't know is to come up with a markup language so that pro coders, without going to the UI, can just code a flow in their IDE and then integrate into their ServiceNow instance, and then boom, it turned into a flow.
Which would be antithetical to what Flow Designer's principle is. Like, it's a low-code tool. I'm going to make you do it all in code.
We're enabling everybody here. Okay, everybody.
Because you have those gray-haired old guys like me that are going, I love code.
Speaking of enablement, another good segue. One thing that we always like to talk about on this podcast too is give people some actual advice. So if there have been people that are sitting here and being, man, you know, I really want to make the jump Flow Designer, or I'm a new developer and I haven't really dabbled in automation, especially in Flow Designer yet. Do you have any recommendations or advice for those types of people?
Yeah, I would. So first of all, advice for people who are thinking switching from legacy workflow editor to Flow Designer. It's not a one-to-one translation. So I wouldn't say one activity in workflow editor equals one action in Flow Designer. You probably want to do it as the opportunity to re-streamline your process. So go back to the drawing board. Go back to your business process and see where are the points that you want to automate, and just take the single item you want to automate and then put that into a Flow Designer. You don't need to automate the entire process at once. You can start small, start from a chunk, start from a thing that's that's bugging you the most. I would recommend each flow that should contain no more than 10 action or flow logic. Because if it's more than 10, I would recommend you to break it down into subflows, break it down into processes, and so that it's easily, just so in the future, if you ever need to troubleshoot, it will be easier for you.
Great advice. And I've been preaching that for a long time. So hopefully we said the same thing. That's great.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us today, Jingfei. It has been wonderful to talk to you. But before we let you go, can you let the listener know, because I'm sure they have ideas and suggestions and would love to get in touch with you. How can they get in touch with you?
Yeah. So one way, and this is the official way, is to suggest your ideas on Idea Portal. Or if you see an idea you really like, you can upvote that. And we do take Idea Portal really seriously. So the highly voted ideas, hey, that there's no stronger evidence for me to prioritize that in my roadmap. So it's very, very effective if you do that. Personally, I'm also open on LinkedIn. So if you just need to talk to me directly, and if you want to know more insight about Flow Designer, or if you want to know roadmap update or anything I can help you with, just reach out on LinkedIn. I'm really open to that.
I'll put a link to your profile in the show notes.
Yes, please.
Will you be making it to Knowledge this year?
I will be, yes.
Okay, so look for her there. You might even get some FaceTime too.
Yes, please come.
Well, thank you, Jingfei, and thank you, wonderful listener, for joining us today. Please remember, there are other ServiceNow podcasts out there, 14, 15 of them. I forgot, I lost count. You can find them all at servicenow.com/community under the events menu or wherever you find popular podcasts. You found Breakpoint, didn't you? Try that. Subscribe to this and all the other ServiceNow podcasts for absolutely free to get them automatically delivered to you. Breakpoint is brought to you by ServiceNow. Executive producers would be me and Lauren McManaman. And to find out more about the ServiceNow Developer Program, we invite you to head over to developer.servicenow.com. Thank you very much, Jingfei.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Please let us know what you think about this podcast. You can leave feedback or ask questions in the ServiceNow community. For more great information on ServiceNow development, check out the ServiceNow Developer Portal at developer.servicenow.com. Thanks for listening.
I'm in pain, but I'm going to keep smiling.
I don't know, but someone's fire alarm was chirping. What should I do?
We'll get through it. Am I too loud? What question do you want to hit next?
I was like, it's your question.
You're good at that one.
I can do that.
That'll get them amped up. The last 10 minutes were agony. And with that, we are done.